You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly why Pastor Richard Ellis wants to talk with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to listen today. Now, at the end of the program, we'll share a unique challenge that we're calling Now Let's Go Do Easter with you. And if you're not able to stay for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of his talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
All right, these were handed to me today. How do you decide who to marry? These are from kids. You got to find somebody who likes the same stuff. Like if you like sports, she should like it that you like sports, and she should keep the chips and dip coming. That's Alan, age 10. No person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides it all the way before, and you get to find out later who you're stuck with. That's Kristen, age 10. And these are all like 8, 6, 10-year-olds. What is the right age to marry? 23 is the best age because you know the person forever by then. No age is good to get married at. You got to be a fool to get married. That's Freddie, age 6. How can a stranger tell if two people are married? Married people usually look happy to talk to other people. You got to think about it. Here's another one. You might have to guess based on whether they seem to be yelling at the same kids. Oh, man. What do you think your mom and dad have in common? This is Lori, age 8. Both don't want no more kids. It's hysterical. What do most people do on a date? Dates are for having fun, and people should use them to get to know each other. Even boys have something to say if you listen long enough. What would you do on a first date that was turning sour? This is Craig, age 9. I'd run home and play dead. The next day I would call the newspapers and make sure they wrote about me in all the dead columns. Here's Pam, age 7. When is it okay to kiss someone? This is all she said. When they're rich. And Kurt, who's age 7, says, the law says that you have to be 18, so I wouldn't want to mess with that. This is Howard, age 8. The rule goes like this. If you kiss someone, then you should marry them and have kids with them. It's the right thing to do. Is it better to be single or married? This is Anita, age 9. It's better for girls to be single, but not for boys. Boys need someone to clean up after them. All right, let's see. How would the world be different if people didn't get married? This is Kelvin, age 8. There sure would be a lot of kids to explain, wouldn't there? Given the topic today, here's a true story. According to a radio report, a middle school in Oregon was faced with a unique problem. A number of girls were beginning to use lipstick and would put it on in the bathroom. That was fine, but after they put on their lipstick, they would press their lips to the mirror, leaving dozens of little lip prints. Finally, the principal decided that something had to be done. She called all the girls to the bathroom and met them there with the custodian. She explained that all these lip prints were causing a major problem for the custodian who had to clean the mirrors every day. To demonstrate how difficult it was to clean the mirrors, she asked the custodian to clean one of the mirrors. He took out a long-handled squeegee, dipped it into the toilet, and then cleaned the mirror. Since then, there have been no lip prints on the mirror. Oh, my. Somehow things just kind of, you can just see some things in your head, can't you? Some of you women been doing that, going to think twice about it again, aren't you? All right, the title of today's message is Liar, Liar, and I'm going to read you a ton of verses in the minutes we've got left here. But this lying thing is a bigger deal than anybody realizes, I think. You know, we get off pushing and poking at people. Oh, this guy's over here committing adultery. And it's funny how we always want to point at somebody who's doing something we don't have a problem with. Have you ever noticed that? You always notice things about, oh, yeah, that guy's, yeah, he's living with his girlfriend. Of course, I don't live with my girlfriend, but I lie every day, so he's worse than me, though. You know, somehow it's just easier to put it off. Now, don't raise your hand on this one. But how many of you have lied? Just ask her this question. Have you lied today? Today? Some of you think, yep, already met my quota. I'm done. Can you think back over the morning since you got up this morning? Have you lied? Now, some of you are going to have to think about it because you're so used to doing it, you can't even recognize it. I'm telling you, there are people, though, who just are in that mode. One of the worst things about telling lies is you got to remember what you told everybody. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said. You just keep telling the truth. But if you started telling lies, and guys, there are people out there, and I don't know if you're in this room, but I mean, I hear horror stories about people who fill out a resume and lie on their resume, and they turn it in, and they get hired, but you know what? They live in fear for the rest of the time they're on that job that somebody's going to reveal that they lied on their resume. How many of you lied on your resume? Raise your hand. No, don't do it. Don't do it. I almost had you there. Some honest people repented already, and their hands were coming up. Have you lied already this morning? If I said, do you intend to lie today at some point, I mean, you'd have to be pretty twisted to say, yep, that's just who I am. I'm a liar, you know. But there are people out there. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you know someone that you just can't believe or trust anything they say because they're a liar? Raise your hand. You can think of somebody. No, raise your hands again. Now, raise your hands again. Let me see this. Because it's really not everybody. So the rest of you people are either lying or you... I mean, do you not have anybody in your life that you just don't trust? They say something to you and you say, you know what? You just can't believe what this guy's saying. You just can't trust what they say. My wife and I used to manufacture ladies' apparel, and there was a guy in a showroom at Market. And I'm telling you, people would go in and everybody knew this guy. Everything that came out of his mouth was a lie. And they'd almost go to be entertained by it. And he would tell you stuff, just make up stuff, anything to sell the product. And if you've ever had a salesperson calling you that does this, it is very frustrating. You say, but it works. Let me tell you something. It doesn't work. Because sooner or later, that becomes who you are, and people discover that's your character, and they don't want to have anything to do with you. Unless the bottom line is the bottom line, and they'll put up with anything, but then that reflects on the character of that boss or the company you work for. So you just get sucked into that system. All right, where was the first lie? Does anybody know in the Bible, or period, where was the first lie ever told? All right, Adam and Eve, which one of them? It was the snake. Now let me read you a couple of verses. Now, I'm telling you the truth, so you can trust me here. I'm just reading out of the book. Genesis 2:17, God says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." That's what God says. That's the truth. This lying thing started in the very beginning. Genesis 3:3-4. "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." The woman quoted what God had said. "Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die." That's a lie. And he was wrong, because she did die. They did die. And we've been dying ever since. It's caught on. You will not surely die. The devil comes in, and guys, I'm telling you, we're going to talk about lying and the way people lie, but I'm going to tell you something. And there's a verse I'll read here if we get to it. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. It all was conceived and came out of him. And it's interesting, in another verse of the Bible, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is truth personified. So you have the devil who is a liar and Jesus who is the truth. And when God speaks something to you and you say, you know what, it's written in here, this is truth, I can believe it, I can trust it, it's the right thing to do, then the devil comes along and says, yeah, well, God says that, but wherever there's a but, you're in trouble. As the devil comes in there and puts his butt in there and starts just tweaking it a little bit. God says this, but, you know, you can't take that to that extreme. You know, it says no sex outside of marriage in the Bible, but everybody's doing it. It says don't lie, but every once in a while it's okay, you know, to protect your family, or, you know, we come up with all these justifications to do these things. do the right thing. And the devil will continually question what God says, the truth. And all you got to do is read something tomorrow morning and see what God says and then try to live it that day and see how the devil starts shooting at it, saying, yeah, it says that, but here's all your reasons why you don't have to believe it or do it. So the devil says you will not surely die. He was wrong. Exodus. And there's a couple of things about lying in the Bible. We'll get to this here in a second. But there's in Exodus 20:16 where you have the list of the Ten Commandments. One of them is you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It is not just specifically lying, telling a lie. It's specifically here addressing lying about your neighbor. A false witness. And you'll get this phrase, false witness, false witness. What is a false witness? It's basically getting on a witness stand and somebody asks you a question and you tell a lie. You're a false witness. You're saying things that are not true. And if you get in a conversation and, you know, did somebody do this or somebody's name comes up and you falsely accuse them of something they didn't do, you are a false witness against your neighbor, somebody around you. And it's not funny, especially when you're on the other end of this thing, when somebody's making up lies about you. How many of you ever had somebody make up a lie about you? Raise your hand. Was it true? I guess it couldn't have been. All right, let me go to Proverbs 6:16. Now, I don't want to get too far off of the lying thing, but I have a lot of people say to me, especially about homosexuality, it's an abomination, okay? Everybody say, it's an abomination, okay? An abomination. I got lots of echoes coming back in here. But let me read you some other things that are an abomination. If you want to go tracking abominations, and I'm going to read you some what God says are abominations. Proverbs 6:16, these six things the Lord hates. What does God hate? Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. He hates them, He says, and not only that, they are an abomination. And I'm going to tell you what, homosexuality is not even in the list, this list. Number one, a proud look. The second one, a lying tongue. God hates this stuff. It's an abomination. Well, I'm not a homosexual. Yeah, but if you're a liar, you're just as bad. And it's always interesting to me how self-righteous Christians want to point their finger over the wall somewhere and can be the proud, the lionest bunch on the planet. Lying tongue, a proud look, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devised wicked plans. You sit around and devise wicked plans? You say, well, no, I'm not that kind of person. You sit around and fantasize about messing around with somebody you're not married to? That's a wicked plan if you ask me. God hates that stuff. Feet that are swift in running to evil. He hates it. People just running to go get into some kind of trouble. Any chance they get. Verse 19, a false witness who speaks lies. This lying thing gets mentioned twice in the seven abominations, things that God hates in a different way. A lying tongue, someone just lies. Now he says, and I even hate specifically someone who speaks as a false witness against someone else. He says, I hate this stuff, and one who sows discord among brethren. Now, let me just very parenthetically say, if you're going to chase abominations, you're going to have to clean out most churches in this city and in this country, and maybe that's not a bad idea. There's a lot of crap going on out there. And we are throwing stones over the walls at somebody else, and God says, you know what, that's the least of your problems. Start in the house. Brethren, just get number seven, one who sows discord among the brethren. Troublemakers in a church, anywhere, just saying stuff, doing stuff to disrupt things. It makes preachers crazy. Although most of them start out that way anyway. All right, so I'm trying to give you some sense here of how serious this is. You say, well, I tell a lie every once in a while. God hates that. And you don't like it when you're lied to, and you don't like it when you lie, really, unless your conscience is completely seared. Now, some of you say, well, this doesn't have anything to do with it. Why are we spending time on this? You know what? Because some people have everything else nailed down, but they lie and they can't stop lying, and they don't know how to stop. And they've told so many lies, they don't know where to stop. They just don't know what to do. And you do the same thing with lying that you do with any other kind of sin. You stop, you say, God, I'm wrong, you're right. And I repent from this. I changed my mind. I've been saying that lying every once in a while or all the time like I've been doing is wrong. You say it's wrong. I say it's wrong too. I'm going to change my mind and say what you say is right, and I'm going to tell the truth, no matter what the consequence. You say, but it could cost me my job. I'll tell you what, guys, it'd be better to lose your job, start from scratch, go somewhere else, and not live in fear and walk in the truth and do what you're doing. Because you're scrambling. People that lie about, there's all kind of stuff people lie about. Anyhow, I won't get into too specifics for the sake of time here. Let me just read you, if you want to write these down, Proverbs 12:19. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Proverbs 13:5. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Proverbs 14:5. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Proverbs 19:5. A false witness will not go unpunished. You say, well, they're getting away with it. No, they're not. Let me tell you something. Nobody gets away with anything. My mother died and never saw justice. There'll be justice. There's a day coming when it'll all come to a head. And you better have whatever you got covered by the blood. And if you don't understand that, we can explain that a little further. But Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood, was buried and raised from the dead to give you forgiveness and a clean slate and give you protection for that judgment that's coming. And I'd get under it myself. I'd take a dip. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. Proverbs 21:6. Getting treasures by a lying tongue. Now listen, guys, this applies to business. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. If you're out there lying on the job to make a buck, you're in big trouble. You are headed down the wrong path. You may be closing deals and making deals and promising things you can't keep and getting your commission check, but it's going to catch up with you. Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. Now listen to this. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. Something about lying and telling a lie about somebody, the person you're lying about, you end up hating the person that you crushed by your lies. It creates anger and animosity inside a person. And a flattering mouth works ruin. Proverbs 35:6. Every word of God is pure. Now this goes back to the Genesis part. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. You know what, guys? There's enough in here to keep us busy for a long time. You don't have to add to this. Well, I think God meant this. No, just read what He said. Let's get this worked out, and then if He wants to send us some more, we'll have that to deal with. John 8:48, and here He's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these religious people. Jesus says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Ephesians 4:25, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Don't lie to people, at church especially. Does that mean you can do it outside the church? No, but don't lie to people at church. Now, people say to me, what do you mean? If I walk up and say, how are you today? And what do you say?
Just fine.
Are you lying? She said, just fine.
No.
You're just fine?
Fine?
You got lucky. Okay, who would have lied to me? See, I walk up to somebody and I look at you and I say, well, you know, if I really give a rip. Now, see, I may not really care anyway. But if I look at you and I say, how are you doing today? And you say to me, you go to say just fine. And you go, you know what? I think he really cares. And you say, you know what? I'm not really doing that great. Now, see, when you're family, that's how it ought to be. If I walk into my little girl's room and I look at her and her eyes about to explode into tears and I say, Elizabeth, how are you doing today? Just fine. She's in trouble. But if she knows I love her and I really care, she says, Daddy, I'm not okay, and she starts to open up, then I can help somebody. You may still be in trouble because you're lying to other people who really care. And I ask some people 2 and 3 times, are you doing okay? How are you doing today? Fine. Are you really doing okay? Well, yeah. Are you really doing okay? Well, no. Well, why you been lying to me? That's why you're in trouble. You know. And you say, well, if you did that out on the street, you know, you're walking down the street, you see one, how are you today? Oh, I'm doing so terribly. Could you help me, sir? You know, you just can't do that. I understand there's social things, and you say, fine, and there's exchange. But guys, don't lie to other Christians. You know, if you go to someone and something's wrong between you, say, look, I really sense in my heart something's between us here. Are we okay? Yeah, everything's fine. and you hate their guts and you walk off and say that guy is whatever, whatever, you've lied to this person. Talk it out. Tell them the truth. Even if it's painful, it's better to deal with it. All right, that's put away lying, he says there. Colossians 3:9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. That's part of the other guy, the old guy. Oh, there's a bunch more here. James 3:14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Now think about that phrase. Don't lie against the truth. What is the truth? You have bitter envy. Then don't lie against the truth. Say what the truth is. That's basically what lying is. It's lying against the truth. Now, I've got to flip down to this one because this is my favorite in the whole book. Read 1 John chapter 2 if you want more details on this. But listen to this one, then we may shut it down. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God. I love God so much. You know, people out there just, I love God. If someone says, I love God, that's not a bad thing, and hates his brother, he is a liar. That's in the book right here in black and white. You say you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. I don't like being called a liar, but when it's true, something needs to be done about it. And churches are filled with people who will get up on Sunday, any day of the week, raise their hands, pray, sing, roll in the aisles, whatever you do at your church. Oh, God, we love you. We worship and adore you. And they hate the person three aisles over. They're a liar. And you know what? The world figures it out. They say, you know what? Those people say they love God, but they don't even love each other. You're a liar, he says. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And I quoted John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now here's my encouragement today before we leave. Tell the truth. But even before that, find out who the truth is, not what the truth is, who the truth is. Because it's not a thing, it's a person. The truth is a person. And you will never ultimately have the motivation you need to tell the truth until you know the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ. And you come to God and you say, God, here's the truth. I'm in trouble. And I got all this junk in my life, my past, the future I'm scared about. I don't even know how I'm going to live today. I need forgiveness. I need mercy. I need your grace. Jesus died, shed his blood, was buried and raised from the dead to give me eternal life and abundant life. And the truth is, God, I need you. I can't lie against the truth anymore. I've figured out every way in the world to say I don't need you, but I need you. And I'm asking you to come live in me and through me and let me know the truth so that I can speak the truth and live the truth. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today, for these people, this time, and that we can know the truth that the Scripture says, and when we know the truth, it makes us free. And Father, there are so many people that need to be free from fear of an eternity apart from you, fear of being caught in their lies, and in some cases, Lord, our entire lives are a lie. If people knew who we really were, what we really did, what we really thought, what was really going on, it'd be a lie. Lord, help us to be who other people think we are, and to live the truth, Lord. Thank you for loving us, for Jesus, the life that he made possible eternally and abundantly. And I pray for anybody here today, under the sound of my voice, who would just say, God, I know I need you. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died to pay my way. And I ask you to come live in my life, through my life. I receive this awesome gift of eternal life you died to pay for. Live in me, through me, change my life, my world, and make my life count. We love you, God, and we thank you for the truth that truly sets us free. And we pray that we'd be found speaking and living the truth this day for Christ's sake as well as ours. Amen.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen to Richard Ellis Talks. This program has always been about not only providing daily encouragement, but also daily challenge to help us grow and mature in our faith and continue being shaped into the person God desires us to be as his hands, feet, and voice to our family, neighborhood, city, and world. You know, not only is that the reason this program exists, but it's also the mission that Pastor Richard himself builds his entire life on, to clearly share the simple message of the gospel in a way that leads people to Jesus. Isn't that what our marching orders are? Now that he's victoriously been resurrected, to now live forever as our risen Savior. And that's why it's a perfect time to live out this exciting news for us to now go do Easter together. So a very generous Richard Ellis Talks friend of the program has offered a $50,000 Now Let's Go Do Easter challenge, ready and waiting to automatically and fully match any new financial gift. The impact of your new gift of any amount will be automatically doubled up to $50,000. So it's a perfect time to live out our Great Commission for us to now go do Easter together. What a creative way to double the impact of your Great Commission contribution. Just go to the website right now, richardellistalks.com, and join others today to have your new one-time or ongoing gift fully matched, doubling your support. The website, richardellistalks.com. So as we wrap up, thank you for listening today. Thank you for praying for Richard. And thank you for considering to join the Great Commission Matching Gift Challenge at richardellistalks.com. And we'll be honored to join you next time for more Richard Ellis Talks.